Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throllers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Sublime, Alan. Look, there's an elephant in the room, and I need to get straight to it. I need to get straight to it.
Excellent.
I cheated on you.
Oh, no. What have you done?
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to lie. This is my second podcast this week.
Oh, shit. Big time. Look at you go.
Yeah, I
The tee off or
the tee off.
Oh, they got ya.
Yeah, I feel real dirty just saying it. Like I need a bath, but they hit me up yesterday about a new segment, and so you'll have to keep your ears out for it. Look, if my performance is anything to go by, I'm pretty sure it might be a one and done segment for the tee off. I don't imagine it's going to go again. I think they expected more from me, and I just couldn't. I couldn't provide more. I gave them all I got. So yeah. Anyway, I just needed to get that off out in the airway straight away. I did cheat on you. I was on the tee off last night, and I apologize profusely.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, I've never once been invited on the tee off, and you've gone on twice. But that's cool. Like, I'm not like salty about it. It's not like I think about it. No, I look forward to hearing it. I did not know that, so that's cool. I guess that'll come out sometime next month, and should be a good listen.
Sick.
So what else did you get up to on the weekend then? You had the tee off today. What did you get up to for your last weekend?
Yeah, great question. I'm drawing a blank on my life. Obviously I didn't go throw frisbees. Jeez.
Well, we snuck out. We had a little stony session for the first time in forever. I haven't been there since they ripped the baskets out.
What
we
day
went
was
on
that?
Sunday.
Oh, sick. That's what I did. I threw frisbees. Oh, that's all right. I was solo dadding. Alan made all the plans in the world Friday night, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning. So I had quality time with Theo. That was my weekend. Quality time with Theo. What about yourself? And then I snuck out Sunday arvo and, managed a few birdies at Stony.
Yeah, beautiful. I got to the social day, and then, the day was too good on the Sunday. So when you put the word out that you might make an appearance at Stony, I just couldn't resist. So I don't think I did too much else. Pretty lazy weekend. So not too unhappy with that, though.
Yeah, beautiful.
I was having a chat with a guy on the way home from the gym today, though. And I don't know exactly how it came up, but it was something to do with like where we live and how easy it is to do stuff, and then like trying to organize stuff with mates. And I was saying how I grew up in Chelsea, and there all my mates moved sort of like 20 minutes further away to Frankston, or they're in like Cranbourne or stuff like that. And he was saying how he and all his mates sort of lived in the Perrins and Kilda area, and then once they got their, families and stuff, they moved to like Cheltenham and Dingley and stuff like that. And I said, it's pretty funny how that people sort of don't equally move far away. They all kind of just move like 20 minutes away from their home. Doesn't matter where it was, they sort of move further away. At least that's what I think happens. It definitely happens for like the people over in the southeast, but the west, I don't understand anything about you people. I really don't. It's so weird to me. Like I can't fathom living there. And I know that sounds dumb, but it's always so weird to like go over there to do stuff. So I don't really understand how it works. But that's how it works for us. We grow up wherever we grow up, and then you basically normally get yourself a partner and a child, and you nick off 20 minutes away for whatever. Like, it's a little bit cheaper, I guess. But like I said, it's not like everyone just goes real far away. They just go about 20 minutes away from where they were, which is odd. What's the West like? How do the people in the West migrate? Like, what do your people do?
Yeah, good question. Good question. We definitely invade the north. I wasn't born and bred here, so I think that's where it differs. And I don't know very many born and bred Westerners. Joel Payton comes to mind. Now, born and bred in Yarraville, he lives in Yarraville. outside of Joel Payton, I've got a, through my circles in Melton, I know a few born and bred Meltonites who live in Melton. But Melton, you know, is a suburb, but, you know, you've driven out there. It's also kind of a satellite city. It's far enough away to be like its own joint. We definitely invade the north. And yeah, I don't know. That's it. That's about all I got for you. We try to, Footscray gets overpopulated. So where obviously the Easterners are being pushed further and further away because of the cost of living. Us Westerners are, you know, really bright, really successful, and are making a truckload of cash. And so lots of us are moving towards the city, but on the affordable side, of course.
Yeah, that's wild. Don't even get me started on the north. I think I don't understand the west. I definitely don't understand the north. But yeah, that's there. Yeah,
are you familiar? Are you familiar with Gowan, yeah, Bray?
No. Yeah. That's Gaelic to me.
Nah, that's a suburb you need to get your head around. That's where a lot of people live. You'll find that a lot of people our age are buying in Gowan, Bray.
Sure. all right. So this might be a sensitive subject to you now, as like essentially the fourth member of the tee off. But listened to the rest of the what's the podcast we like? Tour Life.
Tour Life.
We need to actually message them. We need to get them to change their date because it comes out this morning our time. And I don't get to listen to all of it, and it's annoying because then stuff will happen, and then we'll have to talk about it a week later.
That's true.
And we're not going to move out things, so they should definitely. I reckon they should change their day. But anyway, we got the Yuli story, the Yuli fight story of how his black eye came about, and I think we might be the only podcast in the game that wasn't speculating wildly about what happened.
Right.
And if he knew about us, he'd be very happy with us. But what he basically did is he came out and he clapped back, threw some shade, if you will, at all these other chump podcasts, the Tee Off in particular. He didn't mention them by name, but I knew that's what he was talking about, who would just run and rampant with any wild speculation that they could think of how this fight came about and how he got the bruises. And yeah, I just thought it was a nice little G up to us that we didn't go there. You know what I mean?
No, we didn't. We didn't. We wanted to hear it. And now that I have heard it, I need to share my take.
Oh, please. I am super interested in your take. I hope the listeners have heard the story right now. But if not, yeah, go with your take there, Chris.
I just need to. There's a couple of things that are grinding me about Yuli's take and Yuli's mindset. And there was just one comment, and it could be a cultural thing. It could be an American thing. It definitely exists in Australia as well. It's just not something I subscribe to. And it doesn't really make any sense outside of like medieval times. And he made the comment around defending my name. I'm never going to back down. I'm never going to not defend my name. So, first of all, I can't even pronounce his name. And I imagine many people in Norway also can't pronounce his name. And I would just wonder what part of his name was like just dragged through the mud. I just don't get it. Like, I don't subscribe to, oh, wicked. We need to throw down because you've dragged my name through the mud. Like, grow up. I'm not here for that.
I'm 100% in agreement with you. I think people are way too sensitive about different shit, and we'll get in actual fights for the dumbest stuff. The amount of time I've seen on work sites, people get so heated, and then I haven't actually seen the punches thrown, but I've definitely been on jobs where they're like, oh, did you know that such and such and such and such got into a brawl and this and that. And it's the craziest, you know, like, oh, people get so upset to actually physically put yourself in harm's way over some moron. I don't understand that shit. But yeah, he yeah had to defend his honor, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's wild. But he talked himself up pretty good, I think. Like he from the way he describes it, that he was definitely he took it like a champ and maybe gave out more.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there was definitely a bit of that. There was definitely a bit of, you know, and then I got back up and then this happened. I don't know. For me, it was just like, it was promoting that culture and it just didn't sit with me. Like I hate that like Sigma Alpha, you know, I'm like reluctant, but I will quote one of the comments I read and it's a 6'4" attitude in a 5'4" body. It's just like, I can't get around it. I'm just like, chill out. Like what are you promoting? What are you selling? Like, yeah, I don't know. He came down a couple of notches in my stakes for sure.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we'd have to be there to know for sure. But the way he described it, it did seem like walking away was an option.
Yeah, I at like 100 times. Like it felt like it's like the way he described it. I was like, "There's an opportunity. There's an opportunity." I'm like, "What are you doing?" Like, yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, good on us for not wildly speculating, and shame on the tee off, and I guess every other podcast. But he was just like, someone just messaged me, asked me, and I was like, I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
And one thing I did notice too is like they were copping shit for not talking about it, and Brody was just like, we don't really talk about that shit, and it made me kind of think, and I'm like, yeah, they really don't. Like they talk a lot of shit, and they do like. Go hard in on some people, but never anything to do with anyone's personal lives.
Yeah, nah, it's never off the course. Never off the course. Yeah.
I never noticed it before until the one thing that really came to mind when they were interviewing, who was it? Was it Sophia Donicky, maybe? She, like one of the young girl who won on tour. Anyway.
I don't know if she's won. She's the Canadian. I don't think she's won yet.
Yeah, okay. No, not her then. But there was some other young girl. She's popped off at a couple events. And Weatherman? She won one of them. Maybe. She's dating Robert Burridge.
Yeah, that's Weatherman.
Yeah. Because like she just said it slipped something. She's like, oh, yeah, I've been practicing with Rob. And then they were just like, oh, Robert Burridge. And he's like, yeah. And then she mentioned him a few times. And I was like... whoa, there's like what? Give me the inside goss on these disc golf romances. Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
and I was like, how are they not asking follow up questions here?
Yeah,
but I guess they just don't talk about that stuff, so
correct.
But you know, I thought that was pretty funny. We left last pod with a look at Blake's worlds, Blake, H-Town, I'm just going to call it because I don't know if it's Houston or Houston.
Yep.
So H-Town works for me. And he didn't have his best round, but he ended up finishing the tournament, I think, pretty strong, right?
Yeah, yeah. Second last round was awesome to get to play the final. So I feel like Blake H-Town's probably one of the first amateurs that we've got to talk about who actually got to play, yeah, the final round.
Yeah, round five.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's done fantastic. And he had a really good finals as well, even though he had a double bogey. But, yeah, there was no shortage of them when you're looking at the hole scores. And on the final day, he moved up 18 spots to get himself into 22nd. And he was the highest finishing non-American, which I think is pretty dope.
That is a cool stat. That is a cool stat. Yeah. And yeah, I think he got close enough to his ratings in the end as well, so he won't be taking too much of a hit there.
No. 288 competitors.
Outrageous.
288 competitors, and he's finished 22nd. Yeah, just think amazing showing. By H-Town.
Yeah, done well. I know they mixed up the courses a lot towards the end and they end up playing across three or four different courses. I wonder if it was Yeah, wonderful. Some of those, if West Brewer Park or Johnson Park was just more suited to his game. Because, yeah, his round four at Johnson was particularly good. And then, yeah, he closed out strong as well at Brewer. And I know one of his takeaways from the Junior Worlds was that the courses didn't really let him open up his arm, which we know he's obviously got a cannon, but maybe he had a bit of an opportunity down the stretch. Have you seen that he was obviously on the feature card round one?
Yes, I've been meaning to watch it. I haven't got to that yet. My spare time for watching disc golf so far went to a bit of live on the weekend and to watching the first round of the Tassie Open. So I haven't yet, but I'm keen to check that out, see how the young man does. Did you watch it?
Nah, I've seen bits and bobs, but actually much in the same. Park Media dropping Tassie Open during the week. I've dabbled in a little bit of that this week for sure.
Oh, yeah, very exciting. I can't wait to finish all of that. So well done for the Parked boys. And they've got two of the rounds on. They've split it into three nines.
Yeah.
They managed to snag two onto their page. So that's well done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Blake finishing in 22nd, which is fantastic. But we have to, I think, talk about the winner, Ryan Mon. We spoke about him for winning Junior Worlds that Blake was also in. And it turns out he also won the US Amateur Championships. So there are three majors that amateurs can play, and he has won all three of them this year.
Good stat.
Yeah. That's a very good stat. 8+8 points on his rating this update. 10-15 rated now, and yeah, this kid's someone to watch for sure. So I imagine we'll be seeing him on the Pro Tour next season. So pretty cool.
Yeah. And obviously his brother, we're assuming they're related. They have to be, surely.
Yeah, definitely.
He's popped off a couple of times. So, yeah, we could have a – obviously we have, what, Ezra and Isaac, two both players rated over 930 or whatever it is. Friggin' gross. I wonder what the Mons will bring to the table.
The Mons will bring. Yeah, only time will tell, but I'm sure we will definitely see that name again and again.
Yeah.
So well done, Ryan Mon. All right, so switching focus a little bit to some local tournaments. The Kingston City Classic is back. Have you signed up?
I have not signed up.
Not many people have. I'm looking at the page now and there's only 21, and I think there's capacity for about 140 or so. So plenty of room.
I'll slide in there. Tell me more about it.
So they are playing, we will be playing over two courses in the day and split up between Bald Hill and Bicentennial. And both going to be modified, so it's not just the standard layout. But, yeah, it's a great way to fit more players in. So I think half the field will be playing in, say, the morning at Chelsea, and then we'll switch to Bald Hill and then vice versa, which would be pretty cool. They did something like that the last Kingston City Classic. Jeff ran it at, I believe, Bald Hill and a pop-up course in, what was that, State Park. Did you play that one?
Maybe not.
No, I can't remember. It's in the, it's a Parks Victoria course. Blanking on the name for now. For some reason, we've had a couple tournaments in there. So, yeah, it'd be cool. But, yeah, not many people signed up so far. So, plenty of room. I am hearing that they've got some cool stuff in the works as well. Some sort of juicy ace pot, a sexy bird raffles. So I think it's going to be a very good day. So, yeah, 13th of October for half the field for MA2 to MPO. So that's how many people is that? That's the 21. And then the other half of the field is playing, I think, the day before. So I haven't got that up yet to see how that one's doing. But But yeah, I'm sure there's still plenty of spaces available. So Kingston City Classic, part of the Disc Golf Victoria Tour as well. So some good tour points up for grabs. Get on it.
And if they changed, based on what happened to Melbourne Celebrates in regards to numbers, have they changed one of the divisions to one of the other days? Is that right?
Yeah, so MA2 is now playing on the second day.
Yeah, cool.
So I think that's the only switch, is just moving that one over, which should balance things out a little bit better, I think.
It's already the biggest division for the big day.
There you go. And I can't double dip, unfortunately, because now I'm only allowed to play in one of the days. But that's all right.
Why is that? Why are you only allowed to play in one of the days?
I'm just too highly rated. It's just too highly rated, you know what I mean?
I get you. I see you. I get what, yeah, MA3 cut off. Switch on, Chris. Yep,
yeah.
Got ya. Yeah.
So Oz Disc Day is also back, and there is nothing in Melbourne as of yet, and probably won't be.
Ballarat
does. And two rounds on the yellows. Yes, please. So, of course, I have signed up for that also.
Yeah, nice work. I reckon it's Wayne Govan dipping his toes as first TD.
Excellent. Yeah. Love that.
So that's huge. Like, you know, obviously just found the game not that long ago, and already, you know, TDing an event in the backyard of the TD of the year in Reece Skirt. So, that's awesome by Wayne. And I'll be eyeing that off as well. What date's that?
That is September 21. Just a single day, two rounds, both on the yellow. Couldn't ask for more. This is like my favorite course in Victoria.
I need to play. I need to play Vic Park again. I haven't played it since
Xavier went in the ground. Yeah. Well, there's 31 players registered so far. So yeah, still time.
All right.
But that won't last forever.
I'll sign up today.
Yeah. And what else we got? The Invalid Open. That's not new news. But it is. It's not a capacity. There's 72, but. I feel like they were doing 27 holes. So starting to fill up nicely, but plenty of room left. So, a lot of tournaments coming up. I've got six on my upcoming Central Vic, Invalid, Oz Disc Day, Kingston City Classic, Eruption, and Nationals. I am excited.
You are a fiend.
That's it. I mentioned a little bit about the ratings update when I was talking about Ryan Mon. I've got a nice little plus one on my name. How about you?
Page's glitching.
Page's glitching? Yeah. Okay,
don't think I played. I definitely didn't play jet lagged at an event and play really poorly. That would have absolutely demolished my rating. So look, I've dropped 8. I mean, I'm back into the 930 club. I just want to have a quick scan. The last time I found myself in that illustrious club was 2020.
Oh boy.
January 2020. Exactly the same rating, 939. So look, it's been a good 4 years. Just probably batting a little bit above my average, but back into the 930 club. It's where I feel at home, to be honest. A lot less pressure as a 930 disc golfer. I might just playing a few cards with Nathan Parrish.
Yeah, there you go. Just come back to MA1, mate. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm fucking half tempted.
Come join us. You'll be one of the best.
Not for long.
One of the hot favorites at every tourney. Yeah, exactly. Nah, that's a shame. What about the rest of Australia? How do they fare? Have you got the
big dogs up?
You got the front page up?
Yeah, I've got the big dogs up. Mm-hmm. Not much room in movement in the top two, but do we have a new player to the podium?
Oh, who's that? I don't have a page in front of me. I forgot to get that out. So I'm an observer here.
Have a stab. We've got, I've given you already a clue. It's new. So new player to the podium, entering the 990 club. At 992 for the first time in their career, who do you think's made it to the podium?
The 990 club. So I feel like Blake was there already, right? Or was he not high 980s?
I think I would be with you on that. I feel like Blake has touched the 990 club.
Yeah, so he can't be the new then. Who else are we thinking has been playing real hot lately? The only one that comes to mind is Aussie D with a couple of big wins recently.
Yep.
No,
it's not Aussie D.
Not Aussie D. Who else have we got then? Maybe the other crush boy from WA.
There it is.
Is it Canaston? Alex Canaston.
Canaston, 992. Okay. So here is the top three.
992.
Feldman, 1,007. Perry, 1,005. No changes. Don't play disc golf. We know where they stand. Canaston jumps into the 990 club for the first time to pip his brother by one. Blake's on 991.
Yeah, wow.
So is Bainey, also on 991. Then the ACT battle has flipped again, and Frosty's got him covered. Frosty's in nine.
He does. Yeah, no, let's go.
Frosty's 986. Aussie D's 980. And Jade's down at 979.
Yeah, I forgot Frosty dominated at that Central Wet Classic or whatever it is. Yeah, the thing out in Molong.
Yeah. Berg still finds himself on the front page. I think maybe Dan Adamak is finding himself on that front page for the first time.
That's good.
Abra has snuck back onto the front page, which comes as a...
How?
Yeah, exactly. That comes as a bit of a surprise. But it would be remiss of us. We've spoken about it before, but he's done it again. The one and only who climbs one every month, Tim Bowen, has made it to the 970 club. The guy just keeps on climbing.
Jesus. That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. He's sneaky. He's just sneaky. He keeps getting better and better. Yeah,
he really does. He really, really does.
Yeah, wow. 970s now. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I think then effectively, Alex is now Australia's best disc golfer because Dylan's retired and Dave Perry's at this stage a myth. So does that make Alex our best disc golfer?
It checks out.
Is the myth of Dave Perry? He could be, but I think it must be Alex now. He's the top dog.
Yep.
That's pretty exciting.
I'll subscribe to that. Quick check in with the FPO. Obviously, we don't want to leave them out. And we have a tie at the top of the leaderboard. Cassie has climbed up by one rating point to join Hussey on 896, who went down by one rating point. So there was only two that separated them. They're now tied. Sarah Lee a little back of that at 882.
Very interesting. I'm having a look a little bit closer to home. I'm checking out some of the Melbourne stuff. And we know Jeff's been on a tear lately, so I had a quick look into his. Plus eight.
Oh.
He has taken all of your points.
There he goes.
So he's up to 866, which let me have a quick look at his ratings history. I feel like that's got to be up there with some of his best. Yeah, 866 is his equal best ever. So, looking good there, Big Jeff. The other ones I was having a look at, I've got the page from Melbourne Celebrates up in front of me, and I'm just sort of clicking at a couple names that stand out to me. I'm having a look at Kalen, who got the W, and he's gone up a whopping 12 points. To get up to 911, so big boy up into the he's just skipped the 900 club and he's straight into the 910s.
Beautiful.
And then the guy who came in second, who just pipped me, little Pen Lou, the pit boss assassin out there, has gone up 9 points to get to 918, which I think you might find familiar as one less than myself.
I did see that in a little chat of ours during the week. Enjoy that while it lasts, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. Yeah, what is there any other names you've seen much of?
Look, obviously Vils been out and playing a fair bit. He's dropped down one rating point. Always good to keep an eye on the Reinhardt, Aiden Howard. They got to go face-to-face in the Street League. Aiden Howard's currently got him covered by two. But Ryan Deere is and Aiden both have Leo Dykes covered by a little bit of a chunk. So they're obviously, pretty tight little Melbourne crew. And, Aiden's taking the chocolates in that space at the moment.
Another one that caught my eye was Sebastian Gutierrez. He absolutely dominated Melbourne Celebrates, and he is pretty fresh to the game, so he doesn't have too many rounds in his belt. But a plus 16 jump to get him up to 879 is some big time. So love that. We'll have to keep more an eye on that.
So Daz, as we know, peaked a little while ago. I'm finding a 968 back in November 2021. He dropped out.
Man, that guy was good. I know, right? That guy was pretty good.
He dropped out of the 950 club in May 2022, and he got as lowsome as 923. So that's my little benchmark there. I'm down to 939 at the moment. I just got to go not lower than 923. I'll see how I go. But Daz is back into the 950 club. Back into 952. So that's pretty sick. That's a lot. It's a 923 seems a long way away when you're back into the 952 club.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'll mention one more. We got our boy Picanti plus four. That's a good little jump up there. We like to see that. So hopefully more to come from him. But ratings update day, always an exciting day.
100%. I loved it.
you loved it, I'm sure. All right, we'll check in on the Bald Hill social day from the weekend. I made it out to that. It was a beautiful day. And a lot of people got out to the 8 a.m. round because there was no street league. And they set some pretty hot scores. So knew that the conditions were nice. And Aiden Howard, even with a bogey on 18, with a neg 11, is the best of the bunch.
Yep. He's the Bald Hill Bully. He earned that nickname, and he takes opportunity to stamp his authority on that name every chance he gets.
Definitely. Ryan, Deere, and Ville got the neg nines. Hopefully that will be enough to get Ville up into the top half of the handicap results for me. That'd be nice. And Leo and Juan Rader in neg eight. Juan doing some work. I think we mentioned him a little while back, and Matt Hill gave a bit of a shout out. He goes, nah, he's got some ultimate background. He's going to be legit. And neg eight round Bald Hill is doing plenty.
It is.
Then we'll find Tim Ware and myself at neg seven. And who cares about anyone else? Is kind of what I think. Now, some good scores all around there. A lot of people in heavy negatives, which is nice. Seeing Ash Wiener there at neg five. Mike Spangenberg, I don't think I've seen him play disc golf in forever, right?
He's been abroad a bit, I believe, and he's obviously right into cycling and whatnot and everything associated with Berg's Promotions, but I do think he's been international for a bit.
Well, he's back, and he got himself a neg five. The big one that I was looking at, though, the one that I had circled on my list from the 8 a.m. group was Chris Scott at negative five. And I just thought, after all the pantsings he's been giving me lately, I was like, at least today I should be able to touch him up a little bit. And was successful. So
he's
Happy
he's
days.
Got the double eagle in there too. So, and I noticed he's the only player that got the double eagle. So he's minus four through two holes and only managed to find one other under the card through the rest of them. So not Chris's
million.
Yeah,
pass.
Not Chris's day.
No, it's a shame. It's a real shame.
Real shame.
I did not get any eagles, but I definitely should have got the number five one. I had a monster drive. I was very happy with that. And great upshot that has pushed a little too wide, so it didn't quite come down the hill. And I've got, this will lead me into chump tips. We haven't had chump tips in a while, but I missed my eagle putt, and I definitely shouldn't have. So we'll take a little break from this for a sec to do chump tips. And that is downhill putting. It can be some of the scariest stuff in the game because you don't want to blow it and just cruise way past the basket and have some crazy uphill putt that you're running from 12 and you're never going to make, going from birdie to bogey. But there's a couple of things that I think help me mentally with my downhill putting. And it's not trying to sort of force it down. I've got a pig that I like, and I know that bad boy drops. So when I'm doing downhill putts, I will grab my pig instead of my normal putter because I know that he wants to drop. And then another thing I do is instead of having my finger down on the bottom of the disc, I'll put it up, my guide finger, I'll put it up onto the top of the disc because that naturally makes the disc drop as well. So you don't have to do anything crazy. Once you've got those things, aim for the top of the basket and just putt flat at it and let the disc and your technique and your disc selection do all the work. That's my chump tip on downhill putting. Have you got anything to add?
Oh, I'm so curious to see what you do with your guide finger next time we're in the flesh. that has caught me off guard.
You rest it on the bead, right? You rest yours on the bead? Yeah,
yes.
So that's on the bottom, and that helps keep the nose up. If you flick that not onto the middle, but slightly, like basically the opposite, just on that side of the, on the top side of the thing, that will keep the nose down, and that drops.
Oh, wowee. I'm going to stuff around with that at some point. I definitely think that's going to mess with my release. Yeah, try to adjust. Yeah, the less variables, the best. I might pick a different link without forcing it. And I probably just sit into my stance a little bit. And so similarly, when I've got an uphill putt, I probably shorten my stance, which makes me taller. And if I've got a downhill putt, I probably widen my stance, which just lowers my center of gravity a little bit. And then I might just adjust down by a link or two, nothing dramatic.
Very nice. Well, I did have that downhill putt for eagle, like I mentioned. I grabbed my pig and I put my finger to the top of the disc. And then I aimed low to the chains, like bottom chains. And would you believe it? It hit the cage. I did all the work to make my disc go low. And then I aimed low. So, moron. Did not get the eagle. All right. But yeah, nice day. And some really hot scores. Lots of people under par. So, good to see. Top of the... Yeah?
Who did you have? Obviously, I went the Velotta tip. Who'd you go in the guarantee?
Well, I had a look at a good friend of mine, Timmy Pollock, and I saw that his handicap, or his rating, is 892, and his rating in PDGA is like 920 or something. So, good disparity there, and I thought that he would do well in a handicap battle and finish in the top half. And I can see his name there at number 9, and there are 50 competitors in the handicap section. So that counts as top half in my books, right?
It does. It does comfortably. Well
yes,
done.
Please. Five coming my way.
And obviously with Ville getting a -9, you would think he was an absolute shoo-in. But he got pipped by 17 other players, which dragged him down to 18th. But that is still in the top half of 50. So you take points this week and I take donuts. And you're back out in the lead. Is that right?
Yep. I am up to 16 and you are a lonely 15.
Yeah, correct.
So neck and neck in it. But yeah, very, very happy with that. When I saw Ville dominating early, I was like, oh, yes, here we go. Good to see. But yeah, it doesn't take much for him to fall. If I'm having a look at the handicap now, 44.9. If he was to go to 45.91, so one more stroke, and he would have been 23rd, which is, yeah, there was 50. So it wasn't far off. I guess he would have to have dropped two strokes. But yeah, it was one was basically dead middle, so... the handicap leaderboard, she's fickle, but if you know how to read it like I do, then this is where it's won and lost.
Done.
John Kohler is the number one on our handicap leaderboard. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And we can't see whether he's a Division X player because... it sucks. Disc Golf Metrics sucks. But anyway, he's the handicap winner. Narrowly over...
He's got a picture on Metrics, and it's a picture at Inverley.
Okay.
But yeah, he's been playing some social days since September 10.
He's
which is obviously last year. So he's been around for 12 months.
Nice. Well, he takes it out. Miguel Adriano in second and Ash Wiedner there in third. Yeah, I thought he had a nice round.
Bang.
Bottom half or bottom end, though, not so good for Mike Williams, Matthew Rushton, and Mike Jeffcott down there in the bottom. Come on, Mikey boy. We've seen Peter Barry's name in there. I got to catch up with him before the round two. That was nice. He's back. He's feeling good. He's on the disc golf course. And he was listening. And he was happy with his shout outs. So good to have you back there, Pete.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
All right. Before we head into Idlewild, I was keeping track of the Ballarat League Day scores. And I think they were pretty wild. So I wouldn't mind having a chat about them. These, to me, look like Ballarat Yellow scores, but they played on the Blues. We've got Timmy B, the aforementioned now 970 rated player with a -7. I think that's amazing, but I can understand that. Two bogeys, though. So he's got 9 birdies down there on that blue 9. Like, am I mistaken in that's very good?
Came out at Metrics 10-13.
Yeah, so that's very good.
Yes.
And we've also got Matt Hunter, Cranny John, Nath Parrish, and Pat Thorpe, all -1. And, Pat Thorpe, Cranny, he can sling down there, Parrish. I can see that. That's under par, that's great. But Matt Hunter at -1, that's amazing. Right? What's that rate as?
940.
940. And what's Matt Hunter's rating?
840. Do we know?
Yeah, 840. What a round. I just think that's so good. He's killed that.
Yeah, real good.
And just across the board, like Duncan McIntosh +1. Marlon +2. Ryan Michelle shot a +2. That's not weird. Like, it's Blues are hard. Right? Am I crazy? Mitch Evans with a +2, Picanti with a +4, Dave Wood with a +5. Like, I just feel like these are great scores. The people out there just smashed it this weekend.
Yeah, I'm cross-referencing this with the last time they played on blue, and a lot of these names played again. So Marlon, I think you said a +5. Last time he played blue, +9.
Marlon +2. Marlon +2.
+9 the last time he went around there.
What about Duncan McIntosh?
+5.
Yeah, well, you're +1 here. So he saved 4 strokes off. Mitch Evers?
Didn't play it. Ryan Michelle, you said got the plus two. Last time he went around, he got the plus one. So yeah, that's just like a standard Ryan score.
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad. Even there's very good.
Yeah.
So no, I'm very impressed. All the people that came out to the Ballarat Blue layout. Give yourselves a big round of applause. I think you're great. Matt Hunter, unsurprisingly, number one on the handicap board with Duncan McIntosh and Dave Wood right there. And bad luck, Timmy B. Best round he's probably played there, and he gets fourth.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just so impressed. I was like, even so hard. So, well done, guys.
Smashing it.
All right. Idlewild, though, is always fun. Did you manage to watch any of that?
I did watch bits and bobs of Idlewild, yes.
Yeah, me too. Didn't really get to sit down and watch too much of it. Got to watch a little bit of the final, which was good, driving to work, and then I just sort of had the audio going for the last bunch of holes. And it was wild.
It really was. I got to flick on live for the last few holes, actually, because of the time zone difference. Like, they finished playing before 9 o'clock. So I was at work but not teaching or clocked on too significantly. So I actually watched. I turned on just after they finished hole 13, where massive shenanigans happened on hole 13. And yeah, the commentators were losing their shit as I flicked on. And, then just watched Clutch Anderson close it out.
Yeah, he was great. He was just so good. It was all Isaac Robinson all day. And he was going to be the first person to win Idlewild twice. And then he threw out of bounds twice on a hole. And then just continued to shit the bed for the next two holes. And it was just like, oh, all right, never mind. Four stroke swing, two strokes up to two strokes down on the one hole. Joey Anderson just went, oh, all of a sudden I'm winning. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Wild. And then I was just like, oh, okay, well then he'll win. But then he gets a couple pars on 15 and 16. Ezra gets 15, 16, and 17 by that stage because he's on chase card. Calvin gets 15, Eagles 16. And it's just like, holy shit, maybe he doesn't win. it's nuts. But how about that hole 18 for him, though, for Joey Buckets?
Chill.
Yeah, chill? What do you mean? Did you see what happened?
What happened?
He almost threw it in for two. So
laces the drive. Yeah, I did. Yeah, 100%.
He's up two by this stage, and he just needs to take a par. Throws as good a drive as he can, but gets a bit of a patent pending upshot, and almost throws it in the bucket for two. Hits the cage.
Yeah, that was actually really cool commentary at that stage. Did you watch that live?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they threw to was it Nate Perkins on the ground or whoever was on the ground? I think it was Nate Perkins actually, and that was kind of throwing to that commentator well. And actually, like, it shits me. They always use that commentator for, like, a trivia question or, like, they just ask them random questions. And then they so often don't even know the answer to the question that they're asking. I'm like, and it's never smooth. But they threw to him and he just grabbed the opportunity by the horn and, like, live commentated the moment. With like so much like passion and enthusiasm, I was like, he's nailed that. That was really good.
Yeah, no, I thought the same. Really cool to see, and yeah, really capturing how everyone on the ground was feeling because they could see it. They're like, oh shit, this is coming in.
Yeah.
that was cool, and yeah, well done, Joey Anderson. He joins a long list of people who have won their first Pro Tour event at Idlewild. So no one's ever won it twice in the, whatever it is, 6 or 8 year history maybe of it being on the Pro Tour. And yeah, there's like 4 or 5 first time winners. including Isaac Robertson himself, Kyle Klein, a few others. So pretty dope.
Yeah, beautiful. Hindsight's 2020 in it. Joey Buckets, we've mentioned him before. Never really on a Sunday. He's been up and about Friday, Saturdays, thereabouts on a Sunday. But, yeah, lead card shenanigans. And, yeah, he just played really well. His putt's so good. He got a really rounded game. And, yeah, it won't be the last time we see his name.
Nah, definitely not. The irony for me, though, is I think basically everyone had Ezra Robinson as the next new person to win a tournament. And yep. He's there in second. So
yeah,
he needs that one more step to taste that victory. But he's got to be like, who, like, besides, you know, a Joey Buckets coming out and just winning randomly, if there's going to be a new winner, I feel like it's got to be Ezra Robinson.
Yeah, surely.
And this kind of brought up a point too that I found very interesting that the boys talked about on Tour Life. So I love it. I love it when Brody does everything he can to avoid just telling Yuli that his error is shit and that they would all get smoked. And if Gannon played there, he would just win every tournament. They do a fun little dance where he basically says it without saying it. And Yuli never really cottons on. And it's hilarious.
I did listen to that.
It's so funny. It's always so funny because he'll compare it to like winning lots of C tiers, and then Yuli's like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 time out!" He just gets so mad. But the reason I bring that up is because they were saying how there just wasn't as many people to beat then. That the list of the people who can win now is much greater. And on face value, I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, there's so many people that can win. And Yuli's like, well, three people have, like, 70% of the victories this year. And you're like, huh. True.
Yeah.
Like, Calvin, Ricky, Burr, and AB, so four people.
Yeah.
They've won all but, like, four events. And you're like, huh. Maybe you really do only need to beat like three different people. So,
yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I found that very interesting.
Yeah, it was a good chat. It was interesting how much confidence Gannon Burr has. And he always like, if like I'm a little bit off, I'll top 10. But I just feel like if I'm on my game, I'm going to win them all. And, you know, he wants to win the next two majors. You know, to be like, he wants to have that conversation, him versus Paul McBeth. But yeah, Paul's the GOAT. Like, and like, yeah, cool. Like, Gannon can have a cool year. Calvin had a crazy year last year. But like, not only do I need you to like win every major of the year and do the Grand Slam like Tatar and McBeth, but I also need you to then do that again and again and again and again. Yeah. Like, calm down. You're having a good year.
Oh, it's funny. Him and Brody are just like, well, no one can do that anymore because they're all too good. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're not. That's the thing. It's just if the same guys keep winning. So, I don't know. I found that to be quite interesting. And, yeah, his confidence was hilarious. But it's such a Gen Z thing now, and I'm not even mad at it. I just feel like that's how they are. Like, you asked me a question about, you know, do you think I would dominate in this thing? And he's like, oh, yeah, I would. And he's like, oh, okay. Just so matter of fact about it. Like, yeah, like, of course, like, I'm better than them. I see what they've done, and, like, I do that. No dramas.
Yeah.
And you can't even, like, tell him he's wrong. So he's not even trying to be arrogant about it. He's just like answering the question.
Yeah.
I think it's very Gen Z. So, opposite of Gen Z, we had Greg Barsby on coverage lead card after round one. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. And with a haircut, is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. It was weird. It was very weird. but he's still, not that good. So he ended up, finishing 15th after a hot start. Yeah, a lot of the familiar names up in the top section. But AB barely making the cut. He's just having a weird year. Where did Gannon end up? I think it was still high. Yeah, tied eighth. Which, yeah, he played bad, but he top 10'd. Which just, that's where he's at. I'm trying to check people who have missed the cut.
Simon Lizotte.
No one. Yeah, Simon Lizotte's the one that really stands out. Jeez. Some big numbers there. Anyone else?
Well, like, obviously we've given Mon his big wrap-up, but we're seeing players like Evan Scott, Ilkin Groh, Paul Kranz, Robert Burridge, all these guys are the kids that were playing the AM events last year and killing it, and they've been below the cut line most weeks, all of these guys.
Yeah, true.
Carter Irons, he's the other one. He might have taken out the USDGC AMs last year. Yeah, just and now finds himself as a 989 rated player. Yeah, so it's tough. It's tough. No kids are like bursting onto the scene, and you know, obviously Joey Buckets has been at it for a couple of years. Was thereabouts last year, and obviously he's got his win this year, but. For a few of those other guys, it's proven tough work.
Yep, not easy to do. When you find Simon down there in 58th, then how much hope do you have?
Yeah. Nico LoCastro down in 80th.
Yeah, shit. Well, someone who wasn't in 80th is Owen Scoggins. She's back. She's on the course again. It's short. It's a technical. Imagine that Owen gets the W.
FPO flew me by this weekend. I wasn't really keeping tabs on it. And it was, kicking off way too late and finishing way too early. So that one kind of went under the radar for me. But, welcome back, Owen.
Massive win. Neg 10 for her. Neg 6, Natalie Ryan in second. Neg 1, Sarah Hokum.
Oh, what third. A tip that would have been. Jesus.
And then... Is that who you picked?
No way.
They were the only three people under par for the weekend. So apparently the Ottawa FPO course is very similar. Not too many holes change to the MPO course. So play it tough there for the ladies. Owen, too good. She's a weapon. She's probably going to be the second best FPO player. And we got Worlds, what, next week or the week after?
Yeah, so that'll tee off, in a week.
Ho, 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 ho. Excellent.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. All right, we should do, our throwers guarantee for this weekend.
We should.
What have you got for me?
Yeah, I've got something. I've been working on this. And I'm just going to say it how it is, and I'll wear whatever points you give me. I think this might be a hard one for you to score.
Okay.
I'm looking at Division C for the upcoming Ruffy League Day. And I'm seeing a battle unfold. I'm going with the better Wiedner, Jason Wiedner, head-to-head with none other... the man, the myth, the legend, David Heath. And I'm saying Jason gets the chocolates in that head-to-head battle by five or more strokes.
Five or more. Yeah. That's a big number.
It is a big number.
That's a big number. Five or more.
Yeah.
Fuck. I am finding it hard to do this. I think Jay should win, but five's a big difference.
David's backyard, yep, I think it's
hard. I know. I'm glad you've done your research. I should have looked at what David and Jace both did last time.
I can share if you like. I did look it up.
It's all right. I'm happy to go with it. I think that's a tall order, so I think... seven.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, are you open for more?
No. I tough one to score. You could have said five. You like oh, less than five, I would have been dirty. I think seven's fair. You've done well.
Five strokes. That's a lot
I've
on a course like Ruffy.
and it's only 18 holes. Yeah, nah. I'll take a seven.
Okay, nice. I'm going very simple with mine, and I'm just trying to speak into existence, I think. A crucial juncture for Street League. We've got what a month off after this one. So really important to get high on the standings. I think we've got a good squad showing up for our team for the Chain Smokers. I'm just saying that we will defeat Brennan's disc golf team. We will win at least three of the matchups. That's it.
I toyed around playing with something in this space. I even toyed around with saying that we would clean sweep Brennan's team.
Oh, well, we won't do that. Have you seen the
I know. I'm gonna give you a generous four for that.
leaderboards? Okay, I can handle that. I like that. Four
Yeah.
sounds good to me.
Yeah, we've got to be we're favorites going into
Cleans.
that.
Oh, I hope so. Who knows who they have playing for them, though?
Yeah,
They're
so
the
it's not so
Mercenary
it's not
King,
it's not a
so.
five. Like it's four. I think four's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they might have Dave Perry playing for him. Who knows?
Who knows?
The myth himself. Are you playing for us? We still don't know
I'm feeling likely. I'm feeling likely.
Ah, good.
I've signed up for the 10:30. I think that's quite unlikely. But and I would rather play both, just to dust off any cobwebs. But yeah, I'm thinking I'll be there for Street League. Yeah.
Nice. Sounds good. All right, let's finish this off with some spotlight, not light. What have you got for us?
You get us started.
I honestly, the Ballarat thing has me shook. So I just got to double down on that. I just think it was so good. I'm so impressed by so many of those players. I know it's a nice day. Unless they've chopped down a shit ton of trees or moved some tee pads, those are just great scores by a lot of those people. So, yeah, the Ballarat crew, Matt Hunter in particular, that's, yeah, 100 metrics rating points above his average. Yeah, you got me very proud. Well done, boys.
Awesome. Well done. I struggled with my spotlights and my not lights this week, and I'm gonna go with just the people that play like every day, every event. And obviously my eyes are a little bit on like Picanti as an example. But just the guys that get to all the glow nights, like Chris Scott, Aiden, you guys just are the lifeblood of disc golf in Melbourne at the moment. And you rock up to every event. You're willing to drive. You play in all conditions, and you keep the sport alive. You get my spotlight this week.
Very nice. Mine goes my not light goes to a man that is known for his woods golf. Stalwart of the game, major champion, a big imposing figure in the disc golf community. I speak none other than Jeremy Colling, Big Germ. And at Idlewild, he showed up and he gave it his all and he finished in 102nd place.
Yeah.
No DNF, just 102nd out of 106. What are you doing down there, man? It's crazy. He's a woods golfer. That's so crazy for him. I wouldn't have picked that at all. this is one of those events where you think he might even just randomly pop off a top 10.
Yeah.
Instead, he couldn't even pop off a top 100. Rough. So, yeah, my not like goes to Big Germ, his worst event of the year by a big, big margin. So, no good, mate.
Well spotted by you. Well spotted by you. I've got a not light that's a little left of center for us tonight. And there's probably many, many people that'll be very unfamiliar with my not light because it's probably gone a little bit under the radar. No social media or news outlet has really picked up on this. But just towards the end of the Olympics, breakdancing unfolded. And our female entrant, Raygun, was atrocious. Had definitely never breakdanced in her life before, and thought for her first time, I'll just do this on the Olympic stage and embarrass the life out of the country. And look, it could have been a spotlight. It's brought me nothing but laughs all week. But Raygun, I'm pretty sure she listens. She has to get my not light this week.
The memes are out of control. They're so good. The best one I saw today was a scene from The Matrix where like Agent Smith is shooting at her.
Yeah.
And she's just like, you know, got the leg up doing the thing and it's sort of superimposed. So she's doing it, you know, looks like The Matrix. It's funny as. So many of them. So many of them. She's a cultural phenomenon for trashness.
Yeah. And I can't believe the celebrities that have picked it up. Like, they full did a sketch on Jimmy Fallon about it.
Yeah.
Adele. And she nailed it. I've forgotten her name. But she actually pulled that off so good. Adele, like, stopped mid-concert and started just ribbing her in, like, some massive concert. Like, oh man, it is blown up. So anyway, it's got the giving us our entertainment for the week, that's for sure.
Funny. I like that. Well done.
Yeah.
all right, cool. Well, yeah, that's it for us another day. Keep an eye out for Chris on the tee off, I guess.
Please do not.
Thanks for listening, everybody.